I think too often we talk about medicine as though it's a commodity like onions or potatoes, and that we can just divide it into units and add up the costs or the cost of moving it from A to B. But I think that the physician-patient relationship is really quite complex, and it operates at many levels, and the product is always is not always measurable. And if you insist on only validating this relationship when it's measurable, then you'll only measure the things that you're able to measure. What I'm getting at is that, so often the American consumer's complaint is really about not getting the attention of their physician or not getting time with them or not being able to identify one person who was in charge who could explain the whole thing to them. And so I think that the patient-physician relationship has been greatly diminished and threatened by technology and by the perverse business incentives. So even though technology should have shaped medicine and produced lots of advances, it should not have altered the patient-physician relationship, but it has. It's become more cost-effective to order a test than to spend time with the patient. To give you an example from psychiatry, for example, if you see three patients for 15-minute medication visits, you will make considerably more than if you saw the one patient for a 45-minute psychotherapy visit. So, I mean, there continue to be incentives that only pay for things that are done to two people as opposed to things that are done for people.
How do you think the art of medicine ties into healthcare costs?
Well, so I don't see the bedside exam as being traditional medicine, in the sense of old-fashioned medicine. I really see it as being critical. I think that the bedside exam, the history and the physical, the taking a good history and examining the patient, I think of these as hypothesis-generating tools. If you don't get a good history, and if you don't do a good physical, you are not going to generate a very good hypothesis. In fact, your hypotheses will be so broad that you will order a whole shotgun of tests and hope that one of them will point you in the right direction. And it's very clear that if you do this bit of taking the history thoroughly and if you examine the patient carefully, you will generate a narrower hypothesis, and therefore you will spare the patient's testing that can actually be detrimental, be hazardous, and at the very least be wasteful of their time. So I think that the short-circuiting of that initial intake by a physician has really been quite detrimental to the patient and has been detrimental to the system because it creates a lot of waste. We're clearly ordering things that we don't always need to be ordering. I think there was a nice essay in JAMA or somewhere, I can't remember, in the last couple of months, about this poor guy who shows up in his doctor's office and the doctor thinks he might have a murmur in his carotid artery, and so he sends him for a bunch of tests, and eventually they do a heart catheterization, and the bottom line is everything's normal. But that's $200,000 later. We seem to have abdicated our ability to say, this is enough, no more testing. We have relegated that decision-making to machines, it seems to me.
What role do you think professors and medical schools should play in addressing physician shortages and influencing healthcare reform?
I think you have to demonstrate to the student the magic of being at the bedside and the wonderful, unstructured, surprising ways that stories emerge from the mouths of patients and the exciting ways that you can the great privilege of being allowed to examine them allows you to discern that something abnormal is going on and then to hone in on that and get the right test. And also it shows they see you being humble, they see you struggling to learn. I think the only way to excite students about medicine is to do it one by one by their seeing you at the bedside being the kind of physician that they'd like to be. They need to be able to project on themselves this thing that you're doing and say, well, this sounds like fun. This is what I'd like to emulate. So I think it's a tough process. It has to be done one person at a time. But the flip side of this is you don't need to do that sort of thing when you're talking about a specialty that's incredibly lucrative. It's easy to attract people to something like that. And that disincentive has to change.